You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Pastor Samuel right now as he delivers the timely word that you have for this place, for this house. We thank you, God. We ask for your anointing to continue to increase on his life and Mama Vera as well. We thank you for the powerful word on Sunday, and may that strain of love and power and glory continue, God, to open our hearts to new things in the Spirit. Open our places, God, to say yes and amen. Any place that's been closed, any place that's been hesitant, any place that has not been wrecked by the overwhelming presence and power of the Holy One. So we thank you, God, for that increase tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate you. We celebrate your presence. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our beloved Pastor Samuel, can we just give a great big thank you to Jesus for him? Amen. My friend. Wow. We need about 4 more hours. Jesus. So if you weren't here on Sunday, woohoo! You missed out. So you can see that somewhere. I think it's online or hear it. I don't know how it's posted, but praise the Lord. It was such an amazing time and message for our beloved other Papa. I love him so much.
Bless you.
I love you so much, Pastor Samuel. So without any more time, we want to give him the fullness of whatever the Lord's put on his heart. And Mama is also free to speak anytime, whatever you want to do. So God bless you, my friend. So fun to have them at our house. We are cherishing every moment together. We have many long discussions over lots of tea, coffee, water, and different things. No more Leafs, in Jesus' name. Little joke from the past.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm always happy and glad anytime I am here. And I thank God for all of you. And I bless the name of the Lord for giving us another opportunity to be able to come before his presence. Not everybody has got it the way you and I have got it. And so I say big thank you to God. I mean, it's an opportunity. Each day, the moment you wake up from your beds, then God has granted you an opportunity. And that opportunity, one has to make good use of that. Amen. And so we love it. We have to cherish it. We have to embrace it. We have to give God the praise and tell God we are so happy about it. We have to let God know our hearts of that, of that particular opportunity. So the fact that you've woken up from your bed doesn't mean it's your bona fide right for you to wake up from your bed and then be alive one more time. It's an opportunity for you to be alive. Amen. I thank God for this evening that one more time I've been given the opportunity to be here and to minister the word of God to you. So I thank Pastor Bill and I thank Pastor Mary Pat for giving me this wonderful opportunity to stand before you one more time. And I want to thank all the leaders of the ministry and every person here. May his name be praised. Amen. This evening, I have something I would like to share with you. That is something maybe I've preached it here before, but I feel like sharing something new with you. And if God permits us and we are still alive and we had the chance of coming here one more time, then what I plan sharing with you, this morning or from yesterday, I will come and then maybe share with you. So this morning, I want to share with you something I believe it will be of help to all of us. How many of us want to mature in the things of the Lord? How many? Almost the entire room. So praise God. And so I'm going to talk about the cost of spiritual maturity. The cost of spiritual maturity. Nothing is simple in the things of the Lord. And nothing comes on the silver platter just for you to grab it and take it and let it go. There is anything that you don't actually struggle to get it, fight to get it. Most often, you abuse it. And so, being matured is something that you need to fight for it. It's never something that is because you are maturing. You are growing, so you think you are maturing. You may be 20 years, you may be 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, yet there is a baby stature in you. So maturity doesn't mean or how old you are and how long you have been in the church and how so close you are with the leaders. Maturity is not like that. There is a price to pay. Unless you don't want to be matured, then forget it. But if you want to be matured, then prepare to pay the price. God has blessed us so much that every part of us in the body, they grow by itself, isn't it? Your hair grows by itself. Do you work for it? You don't work for your hair to grow. Mine is finishing. And shortly, it's going to become like yours. Yes. It's finishing. Each time I comb it, there is a drop off of some amount of hair. And those that drops off, they don't just fall. They tell me where I am going, the next place to go. And you see, I didn't dye it. I painted it. I painted it black because I'm having a white hair of late. That is the cemetery flowers. So you see it, but I'm trying to stretch the amount of years ahead of me just to make it black so that I'll not get closer. I have more to do. So your hair is given to you. You don't have to work for it to come. So it's with your teeth. They grow by itself. I mean, your nails. You always shape it because it grows. But with maturity, you have to work for it. As for that one, you need to work for it. If you don't work for maturity, you will never be matured. And so God expects us to grow in it. And you growing in it means you have to work. For you to grow physically, you need certain things to take in so that it will help you to grow. So it is with maturity. So let us turn our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I like the King James Version. So if I will get it on the board. Are we there? And I think that is the last verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. Shall we look up to God in prayer? Father, we thank you for tonight and we bless your name because you have blessed us with another night, another evening that we can even feel your presence among us. Thank you for everything that you've been doing and thank you for your blessings you are about to pour on us. We are ready to receive it. Give us a ears that will hear your word and eyes that can see what you have for us. And understanding that can understand your word. So that God, your children will never leave your presence the same they have come. I pray for myself that you will increase, that I will decrease. And thank you that you will be seen in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So on the board one more time, shall we read? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. And the word stature over there means matured or maturity. And you see, the moment you see the word increase, meaning it goes from one stage to another stage, it goes up. So, maturity, you need to work for it. But he says he increased in wisdom. Can you imagine the Lord himself, our Savior, the one who molded us, the one who created us, the one who was sent to come to the world and deliver mankind. He himself have to increase. In wisdom, in stature, and favor. So he did something about it for him to have it more. Everybody has a measure of maturity. Everybody has a measure of wisdom and in favor. Wisdom is not the same as maturity. And wisdom is not the same as favor. I will talk about it another time. But let's concentrate on maturity. So Jesus increased in maturity, or he matured from one stage to another, to another, and to another. If you refuse to be matured, God can't use you. And the blessings of God can never be your portion. Because he trusts those who has gone through the process to be matured. So maturity is not something like a gift. It is something you have to work for it, work it out for it to be part of you. Amen. Let's see a scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Says, when I was a child, that means when the person was immatured, it says, I speak as a child, I understand as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, now I'm matured. I put away childish things. Amen. Okay. So Paul was saying to the children of or the church at Corinth that when he was a child, when he was immatured, he speaks like someone who is immatured. He understands like someone who is immatured. He thought as somebody who is immatured. But when he became matured, he put away the immature things. Somebody say, putting away the immature things. Hallelujah. What is spiritual maturity. Maturity means when God wants us to be more mature, just as maybe like comparing ourselves with the Lord. I will come to that, I will explain it. Hallelujah. But let me first talk about a certain scripture, one more scripture that Paul has said. One more scripture that Paul says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1, downwards. Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permits. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Amen. Back in Ghana, when you say hallelujah, the response is amen. And amen, you don't just say it, weak or feeble. You just respond it powerfully. So one more time, hallelujah. Yeah. That's right. So that the passing by person will just call, will just come in. Amen. Hallelujah. So beloved, just as I was saying, God wants our bodies, want us to grow, mature, just as our bodies is maturing. Now, for you, I will tell some of the benefit of people who have matured in the Bible. But for you to be matured as a child of God, God brings you or takes you to the area of where you encounter the maturity from, or you equip yourself from people. It doesn't only come when you are reading your scriptures. God will take you to a level where you encounter yourself with people, so that there you will learn how to be matured. So maturity is not something like, you know, the 12 tribes of people who went to spy the promised land and they came back, you know their names? No. But when I encounter with you, when I come in contact with you, God will use me or will use you to shape in my life, to work certain things in my life, to make me matured. Are you getting the picture? So many a times, because it is that way, you will not like to allow yourself to be easily to be matured, because it is somehow provoking. It is somehow, not entertaining. And I would not like to do something, God will use me not to do something that will look so much suitable for you and acceptance for you. But he will use me sometimes to provoke you, to say things that you will not like. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So let me go on here. Shall we read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3? There are people who don't want to be matured. So they are very fragile. If you don't know and you touch their issues, they will leave you. They will go. They will not stay. I have some in my church. They are babies. They don't want to grow. They are of age, yet they put on pampers, spiritual pampers. And so they are like the babies here. They feed them with feeding bottles because they don't want to grow with teeth. Slightly things, they are going because they don't want to be matured. And we are not called just to be church members. We are not called to be part of this church when we are not ready to be matured. We are called to come in so that God will grow us. We allow ourselves to be matured. Say, I want to be matured. I want to be matured. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Paul is saying, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. The word carnal means immatured. Okay? So Paul is saying, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now as ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Amen. What Paul is saying over here is that he wish he can speak to these people some mature words, but he's afraid. Because The moment maybe he opens his mouth to tell them things that are matured, these people will become offended. And then maybe the next thing is to accuse Paul. Beloved, if you are born again, if you have been baptized in the water, if you are now speaking in tongues or you speak in tongues already, that doesn't make you matured. You need to encounter so many things for it to build you up. God only trusts people who are matured and commit into their hands whatever he would like them to use it for. But those who are not matured, God will not touch them. There is a scripture I've forgotten. He said, I think in Galatians, maybe chapter 4, he talks about, it's like when you were like a child, you are being taken care of, something like that, or being taught. And then now, in that time, you are not able to take care of the inheritance of your father. Now that you are matured, then your father can handle to you the inheritance. So the reason why many people are not receiving their blessings is because God sees them as immatured. And so when he commits to their hands, whatever they are looking for, they are not able to handle those things in the sight of God. Are you getting the picture? So be matured so that God can trust you and handle things over to you. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Okay. So let's go on about the maturity. The maturity. I pray to God that God, let me be matured. I want to be matured. Maturity doesn't matter how long you have been in the business of God, like being a pastor or whatever. I was praying about it, that God, I want to be matured. And then, lo and behold, God says to me, Samuel, it's about time I would like you to be matured because you have to grow in it. I said, yes, God, I'm ready. And then one day, unaware, for those of us who have been to Ghana before, I went to a trip, me and Pastor Dan, to the north. When I came back, all my church board, about 12, they sat down and they said to me, they want to have a meeting with me. And I know I was expecting it because they have to give me a report when I've come back from the trip. And when I was about to listen to them, the leader of the group said, Pastor, we thank God you are back. But we want to tell you, I think this is the end of our journey. We are no more going to be part of the church. I said, oh, are you joking or what are you telling me? They said, we are serious. And I said, what have I done? What's going on? They said, nothing have gone on, but we have decided we want to leave. I said, what? Just like that. You want to leave? Tell me, in case I have done something wrong, so that I will ask for forgiveness. In other way, I will not repeat that mistakes again. So please tell me. I was begging them, nearly going down to them, just to beg them. My wife was there, and they said, oh, no, we don't need your begging. We don't need your apology. Please, we are leaving. And I thought they are joking. And then my wife said, Daddy, just let it go. Leave it like that. I said, how? No. Let me try to judge with them. And they told me in my face. the next Sunday. And you know, when they are going, they will not just go on their own or by themselves, and not only of them. I mean, they are not the only people who will go. No, Bible says when the enemy was thrown out, Satan, he still drew 1/3 of the angels. He's still alone. Drew 1/3 of the angels up there in heaven and brought them down here. So they will not go and leave the rest. They have some softy words to tell the rest about their reason, but they will not tell you, the leader, the pastor, why they are leaving. So as soon as you hear from them, then you also gather yourself and then you move out. I lost most of my members. I pray about it. And the Lord told me, you said you want to grow. You want to be matured. And I said, this is not the part of growing that I'm talking about. Where I will be disgraced in the church. Because the moment the church becomes empty, then who are you to stand in the presence of the people? You are not going to stand in the presence of the pews or the chairs and preach to the chairs. I'm not expecting that. And then these people left. My own son, that is a guy, I brought him up when he was 7. Now, 4 years, sorry. Not 4 years per se. The mother brought her when she was carrying him at the back, baby. And then happens to have my name. So we discussed it, and then they said when he finished taking out the breast, they will send him to me. So I did accept him. And the name is Samuel as well. I nurtured Sammy all this time, only for Sammy to tell me he's also part of the people who are living. And Sammy is in my house. Mommy has been taking care of him so many years. Sammy's father was alive and wrote me a letter telling me, Pastor Samuel, I know Sammy is with you. Please take him. Because each time Sammy comes to the house where we stay, he tells them he's not going to sleep with them. He's going to go back to his spiritual father. And I like it when he calls me the spiritual father. And I also like it when the father even gives me the applause that I have nurtured his son in a good way. So Sammy grew under me. And I sent him for training. And I ordained Samuel even as my assistant pastor. And little do I know that he's going to be part of the conspiracies to leave the church. And Sammy happens to be somebody who has stayed with me all these years, over 20 years. And so whenever he goes out to say something to those who don't know me well, they will believe because he is part of us. You know? And Sammy left the church. And then I pray about it. The Lord told me, you said you want to be matured. I said, this is not the maturity I'm talking about. Look for a different maturity and let me get myself involved. Beloved, to be matured is not easy. Unless you don't want to be matured. Sometimes you think people are offending you. So take a step and pull yourself away. But you don't know that God is using these people to mature you. Maturity. So that if you don't want to be matured, you will always be fed with milk, not meat. And you always put on pampers. And it doesn't matter how physical you are, how tall you are, but there is baby in you. Be mature so that what God has for you, you can receive it. There is a certain guy called Elisha. He worked with Elijah. At that time, he was working with Elijah. He was going through the process of maturity. The first time he came and asked permission to go back and inform the parent or inform the family so that he will follow Elijah gave him a cheeky word that will make him even go away and not come back again. He said, "What do I have to do with you? Please." In Ghana, when you do that, the person will not follow you again. The person will tell you you are arrogant, proud. Elijah said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you? Please go. I don't need your concern. Please." He left. He came back following this man. And he closed his mouth. There was a time when Elijah was about to be taken up. There are some students of prophets who were around. And then they said to Elisha, "Do you know your master is going to be taken away shortly?" He said, "I know. Please hold your peace." They were trying to convince him. They were trying to tell him a whole lot of things that will make him look like he's now stupid. But he said, "Please hold your peace." Elisha, when he became matured, then Elijah prayed for the double portion of anointing to come upon him. Unless you don't want to be matured, then forget it. We will not ask you to go, but you will stay in the church and you will always be a baby. And people from outside will come and they will pass by you. Say, "I refuse to be immatured." No, say it to yourself. Say, "I refuse to be immatured." Hallelujah. Immature person always loses the blessings of God. Because whenever God is bringing the blessings, he sees you as immature. So he will not allow the blessings to come and fall into your hands. When Joseph was immature, he always go about telling people about his dreams. And then God said, "It's about time I have to teach this guy a mature lesson." So he made him arrested by his own brothers, strip him naked. And then when he was coming, you know what they were saying among themselves? "This guy is the dreamer. He says he's the dreamer. We will show him." Because he always speaks out whatever God tells him or God shows to him. And so when they strip him naked and they put him in the pit and they sold him to the Egyptian, he was there. It was there he learned how to keep his mouth shut. It was there that when even he had a dream, he would not like to tell Potiphar, his master, or Potiphar's wife. And finally, Bible says he had a problem with Potiphar's wife, which he didn't commit any sin. But you know, because the Lord wants to teach him maturity, he has to bring somebody into his life to use him to mature him. So, beloved, God can use your own friend to provoke you. And you will always Be angry against your friend, saying a whole lot of things, and stop working with the friend and see what God would do. I mean, God can use people. God can use Pastor Bill. God can use Pastor Mary Pat. That doesn't mean they envy you. Unless you don't want to be mature. If you don't want to be mature, then you are going to go to the children class. God, that is where you belong to. But if you are matured, you keep on going. Whenever there is anything that will provoke you to commit or to be offended, you keep on going. You keep on going. Because just after your maturity, there is a blessing for you. There is a blessing for those who are matured. Why should God give you something that you cannot handle? Because of your immaturity. So, beloved, let us strive to be matured. It's not easy. My daughter, Christodia, many of you guys know her. We had Christodia when we were at Adabraka, where Pastor Dan lives before. And Christodia is having a problem, you know. She's having a problem with her speech. And there is a, the sickness called? Autism. So she's autistic. I refuse that though. But whenever we comes to church or we goes to church, you see Christodia here, you see Christodia there. And it's like people are not understanding why Christodia is doing that. And people most sometimes leave the church because they will not sit, they will not like to be in the church where the pastor's daughter is messing up the place. And it was hard for us to bear. Sometimes when she begin doing that, how I feel, I will be out from the scene. Until this recently, I think I've been able to get some sort of spirit to handle such a situation. So when she's doing that, I don't even feel it again. Some of the people who left the church just recently were saying, they went about broadcasting and saying, I've used Christodia for juju. You know juju? You don't know juju. Somebody show him juju. Witchcrafts. To build a church. Just recently. And the person who was saying that is somebody I know. And I don't even believe him saying that. I said to God, let me remove my clothes and go and face him. And but that is immature way. God will allow you to go through pains, hard times, and sorrow. Sometimes I cry after the service. How can I use my daughter for spiritual medicine to grow the church? How? What should I gain from it? So it spreaded all over that, oh, that's why they've been able to travel. And you know, coming from Africa, as an African, I mean, traveling to United States is not a joke. It's a blessing. So for me to be continue coming to Africa and live with her, hey, then that is true. We have used Christodia for juju. And I said, God, what type of maturity is this? I don't like this maturity. Mature. So God will bring things on your way that will slow you down. And if you are not careful, you will quit the race. If you say you want to be matured, there is a big gap between maturity and gifts. Having a gift doesn't mean you are matured. You can have a gift and yet not matured. There is a certain guy in the Bible called Balaam. He was having the gifts. He can discern and know the mind of God. But he wasn't matured. So when God have told him not to go with these people, and then the second time the people came back, and then they brought all lot of things just to convince him, he got confused. And then said, let me go back to God. And then he went back to God, and God said, okay, go. And so he left. Beloved, there is going and there is going. There is go and there is go. Not all goes mean for you to go. Are you getting the picture? So, beloved, sometimes for you to be matured, it has to come from people. You cannot get it from the Bible. When you read the Bible, you are nurturing the spirit man. But maturity, you have to encounter with people. If you are not ready, don't pray for it. Now, God, let me be matured. And let me be, don't pray for it. You rather tell God, God, I want to remain like a baby. Baby. Then forget about any blessings. Hello? Are you here?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's rather of late that the church have started picking form again. Almost all the members left. And we had a big challenges. But God being so good, we have got some few people who have been trained, and they have replaced those who left. And you being humble doesn't mean you are soft, but it's part of your maturity. For him to go down and take off his clothes and put a towel on his waist and then wash the feet of the people doesn't mean the man is loose, but is matured. So a mature person has to be humble. Learn to be humble. A mature person has to learn to be humble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I believe somebody is understanding me. Amen. Now let me go on. In James chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, shall we read it? I'll read it from the board, please. Yes, James chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me concentrate on the verse 2. My brothers, my sisters, Count it all joy when you find yourself in diverse kinds of temptation or trials, rather. Hallelujah. Why should I rejoice when I find myself in difficult times? Why should I rejoice when things are not in favor? I mean, when people have risen against me. Why should I rejoice when I'm going through tough times? But the Lord, who knows the beginning before the end, He knows the end before the beginning came. You know, it's telling you, count it all joy. Be joyful when you find yourself going through those things. Hard times. When you are being talked to. When people start calling you names. When things are not going well for you. When you are being instructed the way you don't even like to hear. Yet, count it all joy. Because at the end, there is something good that is about to happen. If you don't know, hallelujah, count it all joy that when people have left you and they are giving you all sort of names, count it all joy. Maturity. Maturity. Say, I would like to be matured. Are you sure? It's not easy. If you are not ready, don't pray. Because it will start. It will soon start. Are you ready? I know some people are shaking their heads. I think they don't want to now. Hallelujah. God is not talking about physical stature. He's talking about spiritual stature. Stature. Be matured. Be ye matured. Be ye matured. Be matured. The way it will come, sometimes your patience will be finishing. Especially the women and the men who are married. You know those things we've been facing most of the times in our homes. And where everybody looks like he or she is the master of the house. But the matured person will behave like, okay, you say, okay, then he goes away. Then he forgets. Not trying to respond any painful words being spoken against. No. But mature person will just say, okay, it's okay. Matured. So that there will be no any broken home. Matured. Be ye matured. Beloved, if you come to the house of God, that is the place that God would like you to start becoming matured in the house of God. So when you are being asked to do something, don't think you are anybody or somebody hates you. They don't hate you. Sometimes you have to be doing more than you can afford. But do it. Because he knows the kind of level he wants to take you to. Sometimes, among the people that you are older than them, you can be disgraced. Words of abusive or disgrace. Or unrespectful words can be used. Don't get angry. Because there is another level that you need to move from here to that place. Maturity is not on the silver platter. Unless you don't want to. But I pray that you like it. Oh, you like it. Paul says something in Galatians chapter 2, I think verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I now live, it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. If you are really crucified with Christ, how can you just slap somebody? Let me tell you a story ahead. This is a story. This man is very powerful. Very, very powerful. And he can prophesy. And then the prophecy will just come into fulfillment. This man is good. And whenever he's coming, people start shaking. One day he went and he took a commercial car or passenger's car. I know Troy knows about Trotro. So he went for the Trotro. And then somebody stepped on his legs. On his leg. And then he said, what? And then the guy said, why? This young guy standing by who stepped on the leg of that prophet slapped the prophet. And people are saying, hey, big man, you are standing there for this young guy to slap you. Why not you slap him back? He said, I can't slap him. He said, why? Don't you have a hand to slap? He said, no, I can't slap. Why? Are you sick? He said, I'm not sick because my hands have been nailed on the cross. He said, which cross? What kind of cross are you talking about? He said, I've been nailed with the cross with Jesus. So I cannot slap him back. Maturity. If we were to be you and me, hey, I will remove my clothes. And then inside the car, there will be battle. Not war, battle. Hallelujah. Sometimes for you to allow certain people to go free, it makes people think that you are a fool. So you have to respond. You have to talk back. You have to let them know that you are also a person. But that is immature. Hallelujah. Do you want to mature? Prepare for it. It will start from tomorrow. Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to start from tomorrow. Maturity. You love it when it comes. Don't go and lock yourself in the room and start crying and say, I'll stop. I will not come to church again. Take your church. I will not be part of this place. I mean, this ministry again. Take your ministry. Hey, it will start. I pray for you that God let it begin. Let the reign of maturity come upon us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say, I receive it. Those who are not saying it loud, say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Don't be afraid. He will give you the grace to go through it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like it. I like it. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. There is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Shall we read it? Isaiah 53, verse 7. Are you there? He was what? Oppressed. And he was what? And he did what? He did what? He did not open not his mouth. While going through the oppressed, whilst being afflicted, he did not open his mouth. He was penalized. People started backbiting against him or her. People talk so much against him. Yet, he saw it all, but he did not respond to them. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. In Ghana, we have the chance of seeing the goats being slaughtered or the cows. Sometimes those cows or the sheep will fight with you, and then they will, when they are weak, they allow you to slaughter them. And sometimes you see them crying, meh, meh, meh. They can see they are in danger. But they can't get out of it. But this man, who was oppressed, who was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. If it were to be you and I, being afflicted, being oppressed, we have access of calling the person the next day. Hey. You did this, you did that, I will not follow you here again. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We're reading a scripture this afternoon in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 downwards. A matured person. You see, when you are matured, sometimes they can use your past to speak against you. Just to get to know what is in your heart. Just to see your reactions. But if you are really a matured person, you let certain things, you will not even bother for those things to happen. You not even think about those things. David, who have suffered so much from Absalom and was running away so that he would not be killed, barefooted, the king was walking barefooted. And there came a certain man from Saul's house who stood on the mountain and saw David going with his people. Took stones, throwing against him. Stones. And the stones has meaning. When it hits you, you'll be wounded. And he started throwing stones and dust. And started speaking a whole lot of things against David. And then those around David started to inspire David. Are you standing there? So don't you have mouth? Don't you have power? You can instruct us to go and kill this guy all of a sudden. But David said, no. You know, a matured person never rush. He handled things over to God and let God deal with those things. That doesn't mean you are a fool, but you are matured. Let them say whatever they want to say. It will come near you. And even if it comes near you, God will hold you up. Bible says 1,000 will fall on your right hand and 10,000 on your left, and you shall see with your eyes. Where is the scriptures? I want to talk about something over there. It says, verse 6, Take me to verse 5 before verse 6, okay? Verse 5. And give me more scriptures. Are you there? Okay. I want to be matured. I want to be matured. So, sometimes, okay, says, verse 5, and when King David came to, what do you pronounce that word? Barum. Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. You know, Saul was at that time litigating with David, a whole lot. So it affected the entire house of Saul and the entire family of David, whose name was Shimeah, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. You see, David was going through hard times, tough times. Yet this man want to make advantage of what is happening and use that advantage to insult or to curse David. There are some times you go through tough times, you know. Maybe God will use certain things to happen in your life. And people will think it is a punishment from God. And then they will use it to speak against you. And that is what happens to David. David have got has make his confession to God already. God has forgiven him. The fact that God has forgiven him and Absalom has risen himself against David doesn't mean you have the audacity to come and then start cursing the man of God. So he was using that as a yardstick to curse the man of God. And when the king, verse 6, and he cast stones at David, and stones are wicked weapons. These days, you don't have to cast stone. In the Old Testament times, and even in Jesus' times, when you do sin, and they want to punish you, they want to kill you, you will be brought out, and then they will throw stone against you. And then you will die. Like the woman who was found committing the adultery. They took stone ready to cast against her so that she would die. This time, God will not use stones, will not permit anybody who he would like to use for you to be matured. He will not use stone, but stones are sharp weapons. And this time, he will use words from our own mouth. Sharp weapons. When it bites you, you know that this person have offended me. This person have said things against me. Hard things, tough things. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get close to him or her. And so on and so forth. These are sharp stones that will be thrown against you. And it was thrown against David. And David's men said to David, why not you allow us to go and meet this guy and kill him, chop his head off? David said, allow him. He was brought into the scene just to make me matured. He was brought into the scene. So whoever comes into your way, like the person is causing some negatives, that person has been brought into the scene for you to learn something. Okay? Are you here? Say, I want to be matured. Make a serious confession. Say, I want to be matured. In Jesus' name. It will come. It will come. It will come. Hallelujah. Okay, now let me just tell you about some of the things of maturity. Some of the benefits of maturity. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Spiritual maturity means you have the information of Christ in you when you are matured. So not everything you are able to do, not because you are weak, but you are able to restrain yourself when things begin to go against you or people start, you are able to handle yourself. You are able to master your emotions. So you have Christ in you, the hope of all glory. Hallelujah. Spiritual maturity means you are complete. You are completely soaked in Jesus Christ. Like the man who said, I can't slap him. People are telling him, slap him. Retiree, slap him. He said, I can't slap him. They said, why? You don't have hands to slap him? He said, I don't have. My hands have been crucified. It has been nailed. They said, where is the nail? Where is the cross? Show it to us. You know? Spiritual maturity person is fast to hear but slow to judge. Spiritual maturity is being able to say what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I'm crucified with the Lord. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live, it is no longer I who lives. It is Christ who lives and dwells in me. Spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. Spiritual maturity is God manifesting himself in you. Spiritual maturity is not artificial. It is holiness. It is not old age. It is not you having gray hair on your head, but it is you seeing the Lord in you. Okay? Let me just mention one, and then we bring it to an end. Spiritual maturity is about you disciplining your tongue. Spiritual maturity. In the, I don't know, but when I was born, I came to see when we are sick and they take us to the hospital, the doctor will ask us to open our mouth and bring our tongue out. And then he will look at our tongue and then he will see, he can tell you are sick. I don't know about now. So when he tells you are sick, that means your body is sick. Spiritual maturity, when you are sick with your tongue, that means there is a problem with you. Okay? So you have to control your tongue. Any uncontrolled tongue is sick. Sick tongue. So learn how to control your tongue so that there will be no sickness in the body. Amen. So spiritual maturity makes you to have the ability to discern, to know what is good or the truth and what is false. That is spiritual maturity. So these things and many more you can find with somebody who is matured. A matured person never rush. He can foresee and can tell. He never rushes. But those who are not matured, they rush in doing things, and lo and behold, they end up having zero. So don't rush. Beloved, this is my story. And this is my song. Hallelujah. I pray for you that we all, not some of us, we all will give God the chance. I've gone far. And I'm not trying to exhort myself, but ever since I didn't know these things, I'm going to see these things happening. But it has taken me far. Now I've been cool like ice water. I don't want to rush in doing things. Yes, she can tell I'm cool now. Because sometimes, because I've learned, it's not a matter of you knowing everything. It's a matter of becoming obedient and humbling. So I've learned how to be humble. That doesn't mean I'm weak, but I'm maturing. It is something the Lord has taken me through. I know the ministry is going to be mega. And before it can be done, he needs to bring me down and start with me from somewhere. So I've learned to be matured. It's not easy. You will not get it from speaking in tongues. Neither are you going to get it from your baptism. You have to get it from people around you. You get it from your wife, your husband. You get it from the church, your colleagues. You're going to get it from the pastors. When that happens, hasty not. Don't take any hasty decision. Else you go and come back to square one. I have been there and I know what I'm going through. Don't rush. Don't rush. Stay humble and stay cool. This is my story and this is my song. God bless you.
Wow. We have been blessed. Amen? Amen? Wow. So, so awesome. Well, if you have on your heart a special gift for Pastor Samuel, this would be the season. He will be preaching in Akron, Twinsburg, somewhere on Sunday. So we won't see him then. He'll be leaving Tuesday. Next Tuesday for Florida, and they may they'll stop back in before they leave the States, but he's going to be on the move. So if you have something on your heart, the Lord puts something on your heart to give in this season, we will make sure that he gets that before he leaves the States. So just ask the Holy Spirit what you would want to give to their ministry. We have been partners since 1999, the longest partner we've had in ministry, and we bless them for their friendship, and they have their own room in our home, and I think they like it. We keep asking, and they say they like all the pillows. We have the room filled with pillows, the bed, and they use them all somehow. I told them if they start throwing pillows in the room, we will knock on the door and see what is going on, but that hasn't happened. Father, we thank you, God. You're so good to us to bring a voice from afar that brings us a message that's close to our hearts, something we all need, something that is very challenging. And God, we take it as if it came exactly directly from Holy Spirit. And God, we apply it to our hearts and our lives. We open up to the voice that you have sent to preach the gospel, preach the full humble gospel to us tonight. We receive the message deep in our hearts, and we step into it despite the cost. Father, thank you, Jesus, you're able to hold us up, strengthen us, and mature us. We depend on you to be the one that matures us in the midst of battle to extend your kingdom on the earth. We love you, God. We humble ourselves before you. We bow our hearts before you. And we receive tonight's message. And we apply it to our lives. God, work in us to make us mature believers, ready to receive more meat, and Father, to put the milk aside and to step into the deep things of God, that we can worship you and honor you with our lives. Father, here we are again. Here is my life. Here's my life, all of it, God. What I've tried to hang on to, I give it away for you. Here is my life. Do with it as you wish, as you desire. And I will be able to break the tape at the end of the race, running straight through it, not crawling up to it, not falling off to the side, but running through the tape at the end. And Father, there'll be a destiny that I've reached and a legacy that I'll leave to the generations after me. Father, each of us, we want to say that tonight to you. We give you all the praise. Be blessed, Lord Jesus, and thank you for blessing us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have a very, very short video clip of Mama Vera's school. And so if you can flip the lights out, this is Life Christian Academy. And those of you who don't know, Pastor Samuel asked me to explain it a little bit. Those of you who don't know, Mama Vera started a school, I'm not sure how many years ago, but she started with creche, which is three-year-olds, and then she has four- and five-year-olds. Every year she would increase another year, another grade level or age level, and then she has kindergarten. And then she started with six-year-olds in grade one, and then grade two, grade three, grade four, grade five. And each year, again, the kids would keep growing, and then she'd add another grade. She'd add, you know, she'd keep add more kids. And so the plan is to go to grades, we call them grades here, six, seven, and eight, and nine. She has six now. Five, so six, seven, eight, and nine. And then, so that's four more years of continual increase. And then those kids will finish grade 10, 11, 12 at a secondary school somewhere at this point. And we looked through so many videos last night. It's just amazing what God's done. She has 88 students. She owns the school and is the headmistress, or whatever the name is they call you. And mommy, but she owns it all, started it all, and then she has 12 teachers under her, and it's incredible what the Lord has done. And they meet in the church, Life Christian Center. They have on Wednesdays, they have preaching and chapel, and so it's worship. She has 30 Muslim children out of 88. And uses it's a mission school, uses it as a mission. Incredible is every day, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 4, except for Friday is, I should say, Friday is 3:30. Do I have the right time so far? This was from yesterday, getting all of this straight. And they teach French in the classes, in the primary grades 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and teach Bible 2 days a week in Bible class. And then Wednesday would be the day where they gather together. And the children come early to be there. And these Muslim children come, and they're part of Life Christian Center. And there's one mother who has four children. Three are in the school and wants them all to be Christian. And she's married to a Muslim man. Just an incredible. And the cost for this is so low to keep it affordable so people can be there. and everything else is on faith. It's a real work of the Lord, and when their timing is right, the same thing will be replicated up in Ghana North, on our land or wherever close to our land, maybe on the land. And Mama is an expert. All these teachers are trained. They are all certified through the state or through Ghana. And it's a real professional place. And a few years ago, we were there. So this is the video. This is Christmas for 3-hour program. 3-hour program for Christmas. And it's just amazing. So let's watch. I think it's like 2 minutes or something. Let's put the lights off and watch this, please. Mama, she's also a seamstress and makes clothes and such, made all of the curtains that you see and brings the teachers in too. And she showed me all the various costumes that she's made. I don't know when this woman sleeps. She's amazing and is always smiling and extremely mature and very humble. And one of my closest friends I dearly love. So we just want to close and extend our hands to Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera. And say, thank you, Lord, for these precious ones who are mature in you. And they are humble servants of you. And they only care about your glory. That's all they care about. They will sacrifice anything. They will go to the farthest place. They will go to the most desperate. They will follow your voice, Lord. So they speak and live from experience. And we thank you, Lord, that their greatest desire is to give you praise. And they stand against anything that would steal, kill, and destroy from them or anyone else they know and love. So we thank you, Lord, for their lives, and we ask that you would greatly multiply and greatly accelerate their mission, their ministry in Accra, in Kumasi, in Abensu, and many other villages, village churches, and everything up in the north, all the churches in the north and the branches. And Father, that these two who have been led by you to start and begin Life Christian Center International will be so accelerated that everything the enemy has taken shall be returned. And we thank you for the full restoration for Custodia. And we thank you, Lord, that we stand in the gap for the full healing and deliverance and maturing for Custodia that will come as they will continue to seek your face, Lord God. We believe it, we receive it for them, and we bless them, and we love them as our family, not just ministry partners. We trust each other unto the death, and we would do anything for each other. So we thank you for that kind of love. In Jesus' name, we bless you, favored ones. We bless you. May you continue to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Until the end, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you, dear friends. Amen. So dig deep and dig generously, write generously. So let's send them out with so much extra cash they will cry. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.